الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In our discussion of the Quran Sharif, we must keep the relationship with Ramadan in mind. All the demands of the Quran, the respect, etc., it will come when in this month of Ramadan especially we show our attachment to the Quran Sharif, then all this what is being spoken about, what we want to achieve is by the relationship with Ramadan, all this will come into us. The love of the Quran Sharif and the iman and yaqeen on the Quran Sharif, to understand that it is the greatest kitab, it has a great relationship with the month of Ramadan. And we know from the beginning until today and throughout the world and in all parts, all strata of society of the Muslims, Quran Sharif's relationship with Ramadan, it is being recited, etc. For one, we know in Taraweeh Salat, the whole Quran Sharif recited everywhere in the world. So, to develop these qualities which are required, Allah give us tawfiq that in this month we increase in every aspect. Quantity also, we recite more Quran Sharif. Quality also, the etiquette, the adab of the Quran Sharif we try and maintain. Then inshallah all this will come into us. So the first point of the rights of the Quran Sharif, iman bil Quran. So to have that iman is there. We all have got that iman. The more we will read Quran Sharif, and especially in Ramadan, and after that throughout the year also, this iman will become stronger. It is the miracle of this month also, and the miracle of the Quran, and combining the two, the result of it will be that all these things will come into us. And it is of absolute necessity that we develop this iman on the Quran Sharif. So one is the whole Quran, that it is from Allah. Inshallah, every Muslim in the world believes in this, that this Quran Sharif is a kitab from Allah Ta'ala. Also we believe that there is no doubt in the Quran Sharif. And as we believe, our iman is on the whole Quran Sharif. Like that it must be on every ayat of the Quran, every command and every injunction of the Quran Sharif. Like for example, we believe that about parda, that is that the Quran, we believe in the Quran Sharif as a whole kitab, but the ayats of parda, that we have to be separate man and woman, as we read in the etiquette also now, especially when going to funeral homes, usually this is thrown one side. And the man are one side, woman, and they are mixing also, walking in between one another. These are very common things. So the iman on that ayat of parda, of hijab, of segregation of sexes, is also very important. We pass it off that it's difficult to make parda, or that some of us, may Allah forgive us, guide us, that we say it is a custom of the Arabs, or many other things have been brought about, but it is the law of the Quran Sharif. And not only the parda, but so much that even looking at one another, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, we must cast down our gazes, not even look at نَامِحْرَمْ هُمَنْ. And the details of it comes in the hadith also. So as our iman is on the whole kitab, on this ayat also must be our iman. And the least is, if we are weak, we cannot making amal except our weakness. But that my yaqeen, my iman is that parda has to be there. Otherwise, if we negate that and we make excuses and we feel that it is not the command of the Quran Sharif, or we feel it's not possible to practice on it, then that is a very dangerous situation. If it's my weakness, I'm not practicing upon it, it's my weakness. But that it is the command, I accept it is the command of Allah Ta'ala. And as by reading and connecting ourselves with Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala will make it inshallah possible for us that we practice on every command of the Quran Sharif. Parda also, which unfortunately the large part of the ummah does not observe. And those that who do observe also, usually it's not shari'i parda. It is parda just by name. Just that wearing a cloak for a woman, etc. But then even then she comes close to other males also. And she speaks also with her niqab, etc. And she's talking also. And perhaps talking becoming a bit friendly also. And yet we are quite content that we are observing parda. And what is referred to as kana parda, that is cockeyed parda. That is, with outside people we make parda. But with cousins, for example, there we don't observe parda. So it's an imbalance. With one side, with other people, we make parda. And with who we have to make, not what our society tells us. But what the Quran, the teachings of the Quran, and the details are given in the Quran Sharif of who we have to make parda with, and for whom there is no parda. So all that, this laws also, the full details of it, our yaqeen must be on it. And the more the yaqeen, the iman is on it, then to practice on it will also become easy for us. If that iman is not there, then to practice also becomes difficult. Another aspect also is with regard to inheritance. In inheritance also, the Quran Sharif, last night we read in the Quran Sharif details of the Quran, of inheritance. And in other few ayats also Allah explains, and this has developed into a whole science of its own. With regard to inheritance, it's a whole subject on its own. And it is so important, and it has been stressed so much, but yet we find so commonly, a person, for example, doesn't make a will. And if we do make a will, unfortunately, it's not an Islamic will. We make it according to our own, what we feel like, or we consider the law of the country, other laws we consider, and according to that we make our wills. But whereas our will has been made by Allah, what we regard as a will, that so this one must get so much, that one must get so much, that already Allah has made. Then that we are told to make a will, that is to explain, like for example, we got qaza namazes. I haven't made my hajj, I have to perform, I'm owing somebody money, people are owing me money, what my assets are, where they are kept, all those things should be written, so that afterwards the people don't have a problem with. Sometimes a person has got certain assets which even his wife doesn't know about. Nobody knows. He loaned money to somebody which nobody knows. Or somebody, he took a loan from somebody, which also nobody knows about. And that person comes and claim it now, but he hasn't got proof. And this is again another weakness in another aspect, we don't write down things. So many times this happens continuously. We start a partnership also with somebody, we are told also, write down everything. We say we will write it, but we don't write anything. And then inevitably problems come. And then there is nothing written. Then we start, all the arguments and the fight starts. Then we give headaches to the muftis then. And then it become court cases also. And so much of harm just because Allah said, فَكْتُبُوهُ, write it down. We did not make amal on that. And then we face all the problems that come afterwards. So anyway, so on inheritance also, there is also a thing which generally we feel that Sharia hasn't guided us. The vast majority, perhaps, of the ummah are not aware of it also, that Quran Sharif has defined the portions of every person, how much he must get. Those of us who know about it, we are also, we turn a blind eye. We don't pay any importance. And to the minute a person possesses something, he has got something, then for him to make a will, he may be still a young boy, 17, 18 years old, but now he's got something to make a will, he should make. And so great virtues of preparing one's will. Very great virtues of preparing one's will and keeping it. And if there is more involved, more we should keep this our wills ready. But the thing is that we have to have this iman on the distribution of the Quran Sharif. And just as a point of interest and encouragement, our Shaykh Rahimahullah, what uloom Allah Ta'ala has blessed our Mashaykh with. For example, with regard to the inheritance of in Islam, a famous principle which the Quran explains, لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْفَيَيْنِ, that a male will get double the share of a female. There are more details of it, a lot of details. The laws of inheritance are really, really, a person has to really apply himself before he can understand it. But one basic principle is this. So on that, many people feel, Muslim people, that Islam, Quran, na'uzubillah has not been fair. That we should give equal. The males and the females should get equal. So why has the Quran defined that the male must get double and the female must get half, must get less? So Hazrat explained so beautifully, when a person, zuban-e-ishq jab bolti hai, when the tongue of love talks, love of Allah, that Ya Allah, your command is 100%, so then the secrets of the Quran Sharif start opening on that person. As a person has got the love of the Quran, the secrets of the Quran start opening. So Hazrat explained that, for example, a girl, as long as she's unmarried, she's the daughter in the house, she's not responsible for her expenses at all. Her father is responsible. And if the father is not there, then her brothers or her grandfather, etc., they will be responsible. If not, the uncles. When she gets married, she's not responsible for any of her expenses. The husband is now responsible. The husband dies, then her sons will be, all the categories have been given. So a woman really, and if there is nobody, the Muslim community has to see to her need. But for her, that she has to go out and work, she has to earn, she's not responsible for. So she doesn't actually have to get anything, because she hasn't got any financial burden on her that she has to look after somebody. So she doesn't have to get anything. And this is a gift that she's getting, that was a gift. Now what we were thinking is injustice, and it's unfair. Actually, it is a great gift. On the other hand, the father, he has got responsibility not only for his one daughter. If he's got 8, 10 daughters, he's got 5, 6 sons, he's responsible for all of them and for his wife also. And perhaps his mother, father also. Perhaps some other people also. So for him just to get double, that was in a sense that this woman's share should also go to him. Because he has got all the responsibility. She has got no responsibility. And so he's got all the responsibility. As a husband, he's got the responsibility. As a father, he's got a responsibility. As a brother, he's got a responsibility. As a grandfather, he's got a responsibility. So if we understand it like that, we will see that the Quran, the shares that the Quran Sharif has given, are 100% perfect. And a person will actually, when he understands this, fall in love with the Quran and understand how beautiful the teachings of the Quran Sharif are. Also, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali explained, the Quran Sharif explains, and there is details in the kitabs of fiqh, that when a person steals, then his hand has to be cut. But all the details of it, not just that he stole something, and all the details are there in the kitabs of fiqh. Now this also, wal-iyazu billah, many Muslim people, non-Muslims are non-Muslims, they will say what they want to say, and they're going to go in their way. But Muslim people also feel that this is very cruel, and this is very, very unfair, that just because he stole, his hand is being cut. And even this, some people say, that today if you have to cut hands of the people who steal, everyone's hands will be cut. So that is also totally wrong with regard to that. Just if the law is made, then already the vast majority of people, they won't steal. No matter small or big things, they won't steal, just by the law being made. And this is a fact that we have lived through. First in our country also, the punishment was that your life is taken. The person is executed. But now that law has been totally abolished. And now life is not taken. Few countries still have it. Otherwise, vast majority of the countries of the world, that a death sentence, death penalty has been abolished. And as a result, we see how many murders have increased. And the Quran Sharif says that in Qisas, there is life for you. That you take one life and you protect 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people you protect. But they are prepared, any law which is against the Quran, that millions must suffer. But this one person, the criminal, must be protected. And millions of innocent people, they can be killed. And this is their system. In their wars, it's a genocide which they do. And wars for what? For some petty, petty things. And they take lives of small, small children. So justice is in the Quran Sharif. And for us as the Muslims, Allah give us that, especially in this month, that we make our attachment with Quran Sharif, the reality of justice of Quran, we will realize, and inshallah it will come into our lives also. So with regard to every command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and with regard to the stealing, that the hand has to be cut. How beautifully our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained that, why does the person steal? Sometimes unnecessarily also, a lot it happens. People just steal without, some people have just got that instinct. They go in a supermarket, they just pick up something and they don't need to steal it. They don't need it. They don't know why. Little children in classrooms, they also just have a habit of taking something. You question them why, they don't need it. They're from a rich family. They're getting enough of spending money. Whatever they want, their parents will give it. But it's just like that. Or it is for a need. A person steals because he is desperate and he went and steal. So when whatever the thing is, Allah Ta'ala gave us that we should take from the treasures of Allah. And for that, he gave us that we lift up our two hands. And this is our begging bowl by Allah Ta'ala. So when this was meant to take from the treasures of Allah, which are limitless, a person, Allahu Akbar. Ulama have written also that one of the easy ways for a poor person to become rich, or a person who has got debts on him, is that he makes that firm intention that I'm going to pay my debt. And it comes in the hadith, Allah helps such a person. And Allah's help will not only come till you paid your debt, but Allah's help will still flow. And you'll in turn become a rich person. You just make your firm intention. In the same way, you are in need of something. And you start begging from Allah. Allah won't only fulfill that one need of his. When he opens his treasures, Allah, the things will just pour down. So your need, so Allah gave you your begging bowl, your two hands. Now when you did not appreciate and understand that I could take from Allah, and when you steal, you are a criminal, you are prosecuted, you are found guilty, you are given a jail sentence, whatever it is, now all that humiliation. On the other hand, any person who doesn't ask anyone, and he begs from Allah, and especially at the time of tahajjud, and that people have some, if they come to know how much of respect for that person. A poor person who doesn't steal and he begs from Allah, he's making dua. Everyone has got respect. Any person we see that he's giving extra time in duas, he's crying in his duas, automatically your heart melts for that person. Now you got respect and now you're taking in the right place. So Allah gave you your hands, which are your begging bowl. You just put them together, but you did not appreciate it. Because you didn't appreciate my gift, Allah says, I will take it away. So first, when a person steals, one palm is say, one hand is cut. And if still you don't, you still got the other half, you can still beg from Allah. But you still don't appreciate, then that is also taken away. That will also be cut. So all the laws of Allah Ta'ala, our yaqeen must be on every law of Allah. And if we don't understand, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, such a great alim. But he says, I also don't understand everything. And I have, so to say, opened two accounts. One of all the things which I have understood. And another account which I haven't understood. And when I understand something from there, I move it to this account now. So our work is, we can't understand. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ. We accept it wholeheartedly. That is the depth of knowledge. To say, لا أدري, لا أفهم. I don't know, لا عالم. I don't know. That is a person who has got knowledge can say that. A person who hasn't got knowledge, he will want to, at anything, he just want to put his opinion on. So even many things, iman, yaqeen is, ilm is something else. And yaqeen, we believe, we haven't got the knowledge of it, but we still believe. We don't see, we haven't got knowledge of seeing Allah. Our eyes haven't seen Allah, but our yaqeen is 100% on Allah Ta'ala. So just like that, all the laws also, what can we, our little brains, which are so small, what can we understand? To understand how small our brains are. One alim explained that everything happens by the will and the command of Allah. Everything is in the control of Allah Ta'ala. And in that he explained that this world also, it is suspended and we are taught and it is in space, in nothing. For about 500 miles or kilometers is the atmospheric pressure. And then after that there is nothing. And this world is just suspended like that. And when it is just suspended like this, and it is by the command of Allah. So one person with a scientific mind told Maulana that it isn't just by the command of Allah, but it is rather by magnetic forces. And these magnetic forces make it, and the atmospheric pressure, etc. So Maulana took his walking stick and gave that person one shot on his head. So he says, this is the problem with you, Maulana, that you can't give us explanation, then you hit us. So he says, I didn't hit you. He says, on top of it, you're lying now. You hit me. So he says, no, I didn't hit you. He says, but you hit me. So he says, it was the magnet which was in your head that pulled the magnet of my stick and brought it on your head. And you should make shukar. Your magnet in your head is very small. Had it been a big magnet, it should have pulled the stick with great force and your head should split in two. Then he understood that it is no magnetic force. Somebody is doing it. There is a force and a power behind it. Allah is that being. So everything is happening by the will of Allah. So our yaqeen has to be built on this, that Allah is the doer of everything. So on every ayat of the Quran, there are many other things also which we can't comprehend, we can't understand. But our iman, yaqeen, faith, that we believe in it, that must be built. So iman on the whole Quran Sharif also, Quran on every ayat and every hukam. Yes, if somebody tells us, a Maulana, and who is today people have enmity for the Maulanas also, that they have got they are in charge of deen. Anyone can become a Maulana, study properly, go through the sources. It's not that only a Maulana's family, his children can become alims or something. Anyone, and mashallah, we see in the Darul Rooms, children of poor, poor families. But a person without knowledge, how beautifully one person explained that, for example, the laws of the country, everyone accepts them. And when anyone speaks, it's the law of the country. You must abide by it. But when it comes to the law of Allah Ta'ala, then everyone has got an opinion in there. Everyone has got some shosha, some point with regard to that. And the law of the country is the law of the country. We all must abide. We all must accept. But the law of Allah Ta'ala, then a person who can't read Quran Sharif also, doesn't know Arabic also, if you want to, by all means you become an alim, you study properly, and then you become a mufti also, you become a muhaqqiq also, and then you have the right, everyone has got the right, but not unqualified, that you haven't got any knowledge also, and still you have to give your, today if we have a discussion, and we talk about medicine, they say, Maulana, you're not a doctor, you don't know, you're not a lawyer, you don't know, but when they want to speak on deen, 100% they have got full authority. Everyone, and in fact they are more authoritative than the ulama also. They know more also, even about though they didn't study, and they, a person, strange it is, I don't know, but I think. I admit that I've got no right to give my opinion, but then I give my opinion still. So anyway, for all of us, yaqeen on the whole Quran Sharif. That is the first requirement. And this will come if in this month we attach ourselves more, especially in this month, throughout the year, we attach ourselves with Quran Sharif, the recitation of the Quran Sharif, the adab of the Quran Sharif. Just by making adab of the Quran Sharif, Allah will give that yaqeen also, that knowledge of the Quran, though we won't know it as knowledge, we won't be able to explain, give a bayan, give a teach somebody, but Allah will put that practice. And this was a thing which in our old people was so strong, that for example, amanat, they didn't know all that what Quran speaks about amanat and that, but amanat was 100% in their lives. Today we will be able to write kitabs and kitabs and bayans on amanat. But unfortunately, amanat is not in our lives. Hospitality, for example, which is such a great teaching. Hospitality of our old people, our minds can't work. And if we go further up, the hospitality of the awliya, of the anbiya, our minds can't work. Today we can give bayans on hospitality, but it's not in our lives. All this lying, all these things, our old people that we saw and their lives that we saw, they were so ignorant of knowledge of deen. When we were small, that time it was still there were still people that used to travel by horse and cart. For Eid namaz also, they should come by horse and cart. The deliveries of the shops should take place by horse and cart. So Eid namaz used to be late those days, 10 o'clock, 10:30, because people living in the districts and coming, and they had to come by horse and cart, they couldn't come. Today, mashallah, everything is completely. Those people used to come, and while making namaz, and they should pull somebody in namaz, ke bhai ye aavi jaan ye jagah chhe. Come here, so ignorant. But their values they had. They were ignorant of knowledge of deen, but the values, that is when Quran Sharif, just the mere respect of Quran, those values will come into us. And we can just read Quran Sharif Nazra, that values will come into us. So it is necessary, and in the month of Ramadan, this is the ideal time, the attachment of Quran Sharif with Ramadan, and the recitation, and which is a practice, may Allah make it a reality. Sad to say, and hope it doesn't, but many of us, we don't make our one khatam also in the Quran. We explain people who make, in our time, 61 khatams in our time, so many 30 khatams, every day one khatam. One brother just wrote, and mashallah, he says that every day he's making khatam of the Quran Sharif in the month of Ramadan, together with his other wazaif. Just as I remember, I wanted to write it down just for our encouragement. 300 times La ilaha illallah, 300 times Durood, then 1,000 times Durood. So much he does, and all this before Fajr. We are far, far from it. And then again, after Fajr, again he's engaged. And one whole khatam every day. So how many people, what ma'amulat they have got. So Allah Ta'ala give us also tawfiq to try and read Quran Sharif, the quantity. And also for those who understand, mashallah, there are those friends also of ours that they say that every day, one supara they read with the translation also. Every day they do one supara with the translation. And really when they speak also, you see how much they are picking up also. And at the same time, they also finding what they don't understand, they go and ask ulama. Though they looking at the translation, they are not ulama, but then they go and ask what they don't understand. So this is all just encouragement for us all. On the other hand, we shouldn't be weak that we don't even make one khatam during this month. We should, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, the bare minimum recitation of Quran is that we should make two khatams in the year. And this is also a great thing, that a person for his own practice must be at a high level. And what he prescribes for others, at the lowest level. But we opposite. We don't do anything ourselves, and for others we prescribe high things. And we talk as if we are great buzurgs and we do a lot of ibadat. Imam Abu Hanifa, 61 khatams in Ramadan, and he prescribes for the ummah two khatams minimum for the year. It appears one khatam in the month of Ramadan and at least one khatam in the rest of the year. This is also a thing which many of us are negligent. During the year, our recitation of Quran Sharif is very weak. But at least one khatam in the whole year. And if we do quarter supara a day, we will manage to make one khatam in the year. And in the month of Ramadan, to make our one khatam. So Allah give us by the barakat of the Quran Sharif and the barakat of this month, the yaqeen on the Quran Sharif. And the whole Quran Sharif also, and every ayat, every injunction of the Quran, our yaqeen must be there. If we have got weakness, admit it's my weakness, but let us not try and change the meaning of the words also. Because I can't do it, I don't want to do it, my nafs is too overpowering me, so I try and change the meaning of the Quran. And I try and change, people say this ayat, Allahu Akbar. One person, many years ago, when some other groups, academic groups in the Muslims, they were pursuing that woman must come to masjid. Then the leader of that group on one occasion said that even if Allah has to come down and tell me that it's not permitted, I won't accept it. See? So we just following our nafs, that we want to follow the Quran Sharif. So if our nafs is like that also, but at least accept it's the command of Allah, it is Quran Sharif, it's my weakness that I can't practice. And a person who is that, admitting his weakness, tawbah, istighfar, there is great hope for that person. For forgiveness also, and for his islah and reformation also. But when a person wants to justify, and a person wants to modify and change the deen, then there is great fear that he's going to go further and further away, and then for him to come back becomes more and more difficult. But as long as a person feels guilty, I'm wrong, I'm weak, oh Allah, forgive me, guide me, open my heart, give me tawfiq, there is great hope for such a person. So Allah Ta'ala make it that all of us, that the Quran Sharif, our full yaqeen on every aspect of the Quran Sharif, and that if there is any weakness, we admit it, we ask for mistakes we have made, lot of mistakes, and we still making mistakes. Allah forgive us, we are weak, perhaps we'll keep on making, but we ask Allah Ta'ala to guide us and to have that correct yaqeen. And this is the amount we will have adab of the Quran, read the Quran, attach it, and especially in the month of Ramadan, these great values Allah Ta'ala will bless us. And what we should be asking also of Allah Ta'ala is really not the things of this dunya. A new car, a house, an additional room, or things like that. These are real values. And this is what we have to take from Allah. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.